Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q, I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a very talented individual. She's really starting to make some waves in the acting business, and she's already done so in the modeling business as well. She's a really, you know, interesting talent out of Toronto, Canada. We have Aida King with us right now. How you doing, Aida?
Hi, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a little bit into your bio, and first of all, I mean, you know, obviously, I said you're really, really talented in terms of it as well. I noticed that you are very talented in terms of the violin. How long have you been playing the violin?
Well, I actually played the violin for 7 solid years, but it has been a while, so please don't test me. I'm rusty at the moment, but I truly loved playing the violin when I had the chance to, and to share the experience, of course, within an orchestra environment. That was definitely very enriching, and I look forward to another opportunity whenever it comes about. I will definitely welcome it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's starting to make a comeback somewhat. I mean, we've seen so many great people. I've had Nothing But Strings. I don't know if you've heard of them. I've had them on the show before.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other violin duos I've had on the show before too, and Black Violins I think was the other one I had on my show. And yeah, it's interesting to say the least. I mean, you know, obviously you probably went more towards the classical end of violin, but you know, I mean, obviously, you know, just seeing, you know, kind of the popularity now, some of the violins. Have you been aware of some of the some of the artists that have been out there playing violins?
I don't have specific names, but I have been able to witness a few performances that they're now more blended into the pop music industry, which is so great to see. See them to get out of the classic music realm and more into the mainstream. Most recently, I did see one of the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil shows, and they definitely incorporated a violinist that was center stage for a moment of one of their segments, and it was so nice to see them in a modern view rather than, like I said, the classic. So hopefully, you know, one day, if, like I said, if that ever comes around for me, that would be great. I wish I knew that woman's name, because she was just fantastic, extremely talented, and yeah, I'm just happy to see it get a more and more play.
Now, I mean, is violin the only instrument you know how to play?
Well, it is the one that I'm strongest at. I did play the piano for a while, but not as long as the violin, that's for sure. So, and when I was a kid, and I know that a lot of other kids have experienced this, they had them play the recorder. And in my school in particular, we also played the ukulele. So we had exposure to quite a few instruments. And I guess that was to encourage the other children to see what they might find themselves attached to and give them a chance to experience different things.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've tried before. I've tried my hand at the recorder, you know, because back when I was in school. And I also tried guitar. I just don't have the hand-eye coordination for it, or else, you know, I don't have the dexterity in my fingers as well. So it was really difficult for me to try to pick up an instrument. So I just have to go with my singing, which is decent. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if you keep trying, you might find one. You might try the drums too. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, I got decent rhythm. So I don't know. We'll see. Now let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you know, you mentioned you took violin during, you know, kind of your school years as well. You know, how were you as a kid back in high school? I mean, were you kind of the orchestra geek there, or you know, tell me a little bit about you know, how you were back in high school.
I was definitely, I guess you could say, part of the girly nerd. I'll say I'm proud to say that I was in part of the nerdy group where we all had good grades, and I myself in particular was not so great in sports, unfortunately, so I did gravitate towards the music. That was my strength, so I went with it. And Fortunately, in my school, being a bookish nerd wasn't a bad thing, so we were not banished to any corners, and we all had self-confidence in who we were. And I had a great social life in high school, but I was a good girl, so I didn't get in too much trouble, I'm proud to say. But I was a good girl pretty much throughout. I had good association, which actually I have association that continues on to this day with a lot of my high school friends. We've really bonded over the time, and so we always keep in contact. Some of them I actually even knew through elementary school, which is quite amazing. And so, yeah, we had a good life. I cannot complain for sure about my high school years. I only envied the people that were athletic because that was something that I did not possess.
Yeah. And I mean, you went to college, obviously, and, you know, why the decision to take business?
For me, it was more on the practical route. Being the child of immigrants, it was traditional to choose something that would be on the safer side. It was, it made more sense. For me in particular, I took marketing because it was the most creative aspect of business that I could find, considering that I was always interested in something creative. And that was the avenue that I pretty much fell into by the process of elimination of finding something that I could apply creativity plus practical, a practical career. And that's how I got into it, to be honest.
Has it helped you so far in terms of your acting career as well? I mean, obviously, you know, kind of managing where your career is and now that as well. Have you found a practical use for it in terms of this career that you're pursuing?
Definitely, I have. Because I had some experience in the advertising world, I understand how an actor can become a brand, how they can become a product. And it definitely helps when it comes to self-confidence. When a person is starting into this career, they might take things of a little bit too personally when they're being passed over for a particular role, a particular job. But because I come from the end of understanding the client side of things, I know that it's not personal. I know that I can take things on the objective side, that it doesn't have anything to do with that person in particular, but it could be just one look that they're looking for or a certain style that they're looking for. And it has definitely helped me in the long run of understanding how this acting career is, because in the end, it really is a business. You are an entrepreneur, and it has helped me understand how to focus on what's important and how to not focus on what's unimportant as far as taking things personally. It helps me understand what the picture should be in the long run of how to develop and create a foundation for a solid acting career.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of comedians, and this is kind of a funny story. I talked to a lot of comedians, and, you know, a lot of comedians come from the fact that they do come from a business realm. A lot of them decide that, you know, in their midlife, they want to pursue the comedy bug. Several of them had actually said that the story was that they ended up taking a comedy class in order to be better at public speaking and in terms of business. And some of them got caught the bug of doing that. And I've heard other comedians talk about how they've been in improv classes where business people were taking improv classes as well. There's kind of a, you know, opposite benefit in that even taking acting classes or whatever does help with you a little bit more with your confidence and all that as well, and how you poise yourself and, you know, how you kind of get your mindset into doing something publicly. So I wanted to pass that along. And now you said you were in business. I mean, were you in the marketing side of things when you were in school?
Yes, that was my major in university.
Oh, so so definitely you got that kind of the idea of having a brand and marketing yourself as well. So that's obviously going to keep you pretty focused as well. How did the acting come about?
Well, it's a funny story. It's one that you hear about now and then, and you would never imagine that it would happen to you, I got discovered, and it was by accident. What happened was that I was in L.A. by chance, because I actually won a trip to L.A. So I won a short trip to L.A., and while I was here, we were going to meet up with someone that we knew, and that person knows a director and an actor, and we were all going to, our intention was to just meet together for something informal, coffee or drink. The director decided to check us out to see who I was ahead of time, just out of curiosity, and found my Facebook page. And this is my casual, informal Facebook page, very personal. I had a picture of myself from a wedding. And when he saw my picture, he inquired with my friend as to who I was, a little bit of my background. And he emailed me to say, propose a part in a film. He said that he was looking for someone that looked like me, that particular person that he had envisioned for some time. He's been looking for a while to find someone that looked like me. And basically, that's how it all got started. He asked if I would consider it. I said yes. And then once they started to understand more about my background or what I had, education and in the arts, then it started to snowball into the place where I am today. So it was really an incredible opportunity. And like they say, preparedness that meets opportunity. It is a combination of luck too, at right time, at the right place. And it all just came at the perfect meeting. And that's how it all started.
Now, I mean, your first time on the set, what was it like for you? Obviously, it's got to be one of those moments that, you know, obviously a little bit nervous, you know, not exactly knowing what's going on. But what was your feeling going on to the set for the first time?
It was, I would describe it as an out-of-body experience, to be honest. It was nerve-wracking, and being the first time, you just really don't know what to think, what to, you know, expect. And it felt like I was there and not there at the same time. It felt like a little bit of a dream, to be honest, because you like I said, you see these things on TV, you get a little feel for it, but it's nothing compared to actually being immersed right inside of it. And I was happy throughout, happy for the experience, still happy. I felt this was something finally actually that I felt that I belonged in, to be honest. I felt quite at home. It's just so grateful that I was even involved at all, to be honest.
What's probably the most difficult thing that you found when that first time, that first gig that you had to act?
I would say, I was surprised at how many takes that it took, because I had been involved in advertising, but it's definitely not the same when it comes to film. So I was not aware of how many times a particular scene could be repeated in so many different ways. The director will say, just have a slight change here. And then in the next take, a slight change there. Just so many different ways that one scene could have. It really amazed me, and it really opened my eyes, because when you realize, when it comes to editing, how a movie can be completely different depending on the editor. They could have one take and they will pick particular scenes that they like, and another editor can have their own take, and it could be a completely different movie depending on what scenes that they choose. So that was really an eye-opener for me.
Now, how long ago was your first part? Was it maybe two or three years ago, maybe?
It was about, actually not that long ago, about a year, over a year ago.
So, I mean, but, you know, since then, I mean, you've obviously have taken classes to help tune your kind of acting on it as well. You know, looking from what you are right now and looking back at what you were doing then, I mean, you know, tell me a little bit about how the difference is between you now and then, and, you know, some of the things that you may have thought on set, like, you know, wow, you know, if I would have known what I know now that I knew then, I could probably give it a little bit better time. But tell me a little bit about that.
It's basically to learning to relax, and as I was always taught in acting school, to be in the moment. So forgetting, just trying to mentally forget about what is happening, and just to be in the moment of the actual scene, that moment in the story. Forget about what is, like I said, outside of that range, that actual physical range beyond the camera, just to concentrate on what is happening right there in front of you. And that took a while to understand, because you're trying to concentrate, but then you're distracted, or there's something that you're thinking of, and just to be able to let go and to be in that moment. That's what I found, that took some time, and definitely took practice to do. And I wish that I had done that earlier, but now that I'm able to do it, I feel much better. Makes a difference.
Now,
that's
for
sure.
Yeah. Do you think you feel a lot more comfortable in drama, or do you think that you have comic chops at all?
I do enjoy comedy. I'll be honest. I enjoyed it when I did it in improv. I'm not sure when it comes to film what that would be, because improv, like, as you know, it's on the fly. You never know what's going to happen. When it comes to comedy on film, you do know it's more planned, that's for sure. So I would say I'm definitely open to it. I'm not sure how I would do, because I know that it is not an easy thing to do. Comedy is so much more complex, in my opinion, because it differs so much from country to country. Everybody deciphers comedy in a different way. There's different styles that people are attracted to depending on the region. So it's tough to be able to, in my opinion, for those comedians to reach such a wide audience worldwide, when people could be so finicky as to what they think is funny and what they interpret as funny. But I would be open to it.
Yeah, I mean, I talk to comedians, and, you know, it is a kind of an art to be able to adjust their comedy for certain audiences as well. A lot of them have, you know, material that's universal, that they can go from place to place, and those are the ones that are very successful. So,
yes.
And I mean, obviously, a lot of it has to deal with timing and the ability to, you know, have some of those skills on there as well. But I don't know. You never know if you have those until you really try it. So I'm interested to see if one of these days you end up getting a comedic role or something like that, or you're asked. You know, I'm pretty sure eventually, or if you haven't already yet, in some of these auditions, get asked to read a funny line, or kind of do that as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes, definitely. I would love to do it. We'll see if I'm funny or not. It depends who's watching.
Now, you had discussed earlier about, coming from the marketing background, that you said that you sometimes, you know, you're not given the role because it's not what they're looking for or whatever. And you had mentioned, you know, in this particular instance, that the director thought that you'd be perfect for this role. I mean, I think you're a little bit more of a rare actress in terms of what they need in Hollywood right now, because they are going a little bit more, I want to say, ethnic. In terms of certain roles, how are you seeing that now? I mean, obviously, you know, there's got to be some demand for you and for you in the industry right now. I mean, obviously, you're an actress and pursuing for a reason. But what's your opinion on that? The idea that the Hollywood's becoming a little bit more diverse now, and they're really looking for actresses that have different looks.
I think it's about time, and it's definitely encouraging. You know, people of all races have been in the U.S. and Canada for centuries now, but you don't see that reflected. You don't see the population reflected as much until recently. So, yes, they would have Asian Americans on TV before, but they were always portrayed as the new immigrant, someone that just arrived, and not the ones that have been here for so long, because, you know, and everybody wants to be represented on TV or on movie. They would like some kind of a reflection to say, hey, yeah, you know, we belong here. We are part of the population. But it's taken some time for Asian Americans in particular to be shown as such. Obviously, there is a change now where they are getting more into reflecting who are part of the population. So it's encouraging. When I was a kid, I didn't have anyone really to look up to as any reflection of myself. And it's funny, I told one other person before that as a child, while I wasn't searching, I just naturally gravitated toward anyone with dark hair that had an American accent. So that would resort me to looking at cartoons. And so literally any cartoon female with dark hair, I assumed that they were American Asian of Asian descent because there was no one else to look at. But obviously it has changed over the years, slowly progressing. But as you mentioned, right now they're gearing up to have it more and more common. And it's encouraging. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to finally see it. It's been a long time coming. And I think it's great overall because it helps everyone in general to realize that who is here, who does live in this part of the world, and why not get everyone involved or included? I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that the typecasting isn't going on as much. It's still going on in Hollywood, but I think that they're being open-minded about who certain individuals are and all that as well. So yeah, I think it's great. And I've been talking. I was at Sundance. I don't know. You probably have never been to Sundance, have you?
I have not yet.
Oh, you have to go one of these days. But I was there this past year, and I was able to talk to a couple of producers, both female, by the way. And they were talking about how over the next year or so, you know, there's just going to be this revolution, and part of that was from yesterday's International Women's Day. There's more of a push for more female directors, former female, female-based scripts. That women to tell their own stories, you know, exactly, you know.
Yeah.
So we're getting to that point where I think that it'll be interesting to see what characterizations and what kind of roles are going to be created once this, you know, this push goes full bore. But you know, a lot of these industry people that I've talked to said that this next year is going to be very interesting in terms of them pushing for more female-driven content. So it'll be interesting to see what roles you could possibly get in the next year or so.
Like you said, I think it's great that right now on TV there are already quite a few female leads that are happening, and I hope that it's giving more female writers the confidence to get out there and give themselves the opportunity to be seen and to have the confidence to create their opportunities to have their content out there. And it will be interesting to see what is coming out, and hopefully this gives the executives more confidence to have something different, to have the confidence to take the chance to have different stories put out there.
Now, speaking of which, I mean, you got a couple things going on. First of all, you have this great, exciting travel show. I believe I saw something about it online somewhere when I was doing my research for the show, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we're going to be doing a travel show, and it features beaches around the world. Right now, we are focusing our first set of shows in the Philippines. A lot of people, they may be aware of one beach in particular because it's always landing on some of the top lists of beach lists in the world, and that's the beach on Boracay. Boracay, as people normally pronounce it outside of the Philippines. And that is obviously one of the top destinations in the Philippines because it's been on so many travel lists. But we also want to highlight so many other beaches that are gorgeous, that are unspoiled or yet to be discovered by foreign visitors. So we're looking at about 5 different locations. And we're going to just travel from island to island. Tough job, but someone's got to do it. And then if they're interested, we're going to go to other countries and start featuring their different beach areas that people are unaware of. So it'll give a nice eye-opener for those that are into trying to locate all the best places to go to for sunny, warm destinations and give them an alternative.
Now, is this the first time you've been to the home, into the motherland, or is this have you been there before?
I had been there before once a long time ago, and then just recently, in January, we had the opportunity to go, and that was for a work reason. So not often as much as I would like to. Most of my family is based here in Canada and the U.S., so we do have extended family out there, and it was so great to see them after so many years. And hopefully you get to sneak in a couple of more visits while I'm there for shooting this travel show.
Yeah, I mean, I've come from my grandfather was Filipino and immigrated to the U.S. So, you know, I've never had the opportunity to go to the Philippines as well. I know my father has and a lot of my brothers have, but...
love it. If you love the food, you will definitely love it. You had the chance to eat all the food, then you'll know where it's coming from because it's a lot fresher there.
Yeah, I know how you feel. I mean, yeah, I mean, I grew up on Filipino cooking myself too, so it's, you know, it's definitely it would be interesting just to try it in the home country, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty really tempting everywhere. They're just. It's all gung-ho about feeding you when you're a guest, so
yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be seeing you soon. I know that you're doing a pilot for HBO as well. I mean, that's got to be exciting for you to be able to do something like that.
Yes, I'm extremely excited about it. I can mention that it's going to be about Hawaiian history. It's a drama based on Hawaiian history, similar to the format of Vikings. I don't know if you're familiar with that show. It's on the History Channel. But it is based on true events or part of their lore and country's history. So it will be around the time of King Kamehameha I, to probably, I'm assuming, when it was completely taken over by the Americans. And it basically shows people what life was like when Hawaii was independent, up until the point where the British had influenced their system of government and religion. So it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait. I hope this will be... a great avenue for people to learn about the Hawaiian history and also give pride to the native Hawaiians as well, because it'll be showcasing their heritage.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Do we have a date in which they're going to start, when they're going to have the debut? Do you think it's going to be the fall, or do you know yet?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I mm-hmm. do believe that we start filming sometime in the late summer, but don't quote me on that
yeah.
as being official, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully as well. I want to, we'll plug quickly your Facebook page, please. Definitely Ida King on Ida P. King, right?
Yes, Ida P. King, AIDAPKING. So Ada P. King is the way to find it. Sometimes you can find it with just Ada King, and then you might see my face on there, Filipina looking lady, that would be me. And yes, you're welcome to find more information about myself on there.
Yeah, anything else you want to promote, anything you need to add?
Those are the two projects that I can officially talk about right now. Maybe the next time I can I'll be allowed to say more. But thank you.
yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm interested to see what goes on in your career as well. You know, and we'll see. We'll see what goes on in the next year. And have a lot of fun. But it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun in the Philippines doing the show, and also you know, with the HBO show as well. So I look forward to seeing both projects, as it were, coming up in the next year. Thanks a lot for joining us and taking some time out.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Ada King, everybody. Ada P. King on Facebook. Excuse me. So make sure you check her out as well. Coming up, weirdly enough, my next week guest called up earlier and didn't get my data. You know, Kim Spadaro is going to be our guest next week. She has created a company that does fragrances as well. We were supposed to have her on back in January, but a family emergency had preempted her from being able to call in. So we're going to have Kim on next week, talk a little bit about her company and what her company means. I mean, she's a great person in order to talk to a little bit about being, first of all, being a very, very successful business lady. Also, she does her own fragrances, so she's kind of in the chemical realm and all that as well. So I'm interested to talk a little bit about her with her about in terms of STEM. For those of you who don't know what STEM is, it's a movement to get girls into the science and engineering realms. So I'm gonna talk to her a little bit about that, as well as her very elegant perfume line coming up on Monday at 1 p.m. 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. There we go. 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And then Thursday we're going to have a special show. We usually do our Throwback Thursdays on Thursday, but we're not going to do that this week. This week we're going to have a actual show that I did when I was up in Portland last weekend. We'll be talking to Samantha Hess from Cuddle Up With Me. It's an interesting story. She over a year ago started this business. It's for plutonic touching therapy. It helps people, deal with the stress and issues, psychological issues, by simply cuddling up to people and using touch therapy. It's a very interesting thing. She's doing very successful at it, and you'll be hearing a lot more about her, I'm pretty sure, in the next couple months. So definitely check that out. We'll have the interview on Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. We might do some actual live interviews on Thursday because we've been getting a lot of demand. A lot of people have been demanding to come on the show, and right now the Monday show is booked for the next couple weeks. So I'm going to try to ink in maybe one or two more live interviews a week. And then when that kind of dries down a little bit, we'll go back to our Throwback Thursday shows. If you guys haven't checked out any of the Throwback Thursday shows or whatever, go to vegaspodcasting.com. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, so somewhere in Vegas, you can see all the video, the shows that we've had over the past couple days. I haven't updated vegaspodcasting.com for a bit, so you can't see some of the throwbacks we've had over the past couple weeks. I may have to go to vegaspodcasting.com and update the site so you guys can take a look and see who all we had on the show with the throwbacks. It's very interesting, to say the least. And please follow us on Twitter at SWIV. That's at SWIV and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. And you guys can check out some of the previous episodes and see who's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Like I said, Skim Spadaro next week, and then we're going to have Samantha Hess on Thursday. So that's going to be a very interesting thing. Like I said, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks. So definitely go to VegasPodcast.com. We'll try to update as much as I possibly can to let you guys know what's been going on there as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with my interview with Samantha Hess of Cuddle Up to Me. Talk to you guys then.